Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. Tony Perkins is the co-anchor with Allison Seymour of Fox 5 Morning News. From 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekday mornings, he's joining us right now, but we have a bigger fish to fry, believe it or not, than a TV guy.
Hard to believe.
Although, Tony, it's great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
Hit the official Oscar Santana music.
Yeah.
It is time to go across the world. To another land, a
into
land
the
of
future.
Asia. We're going to the future.
We have tech support on the line.
And it's time to Tokyo, Hong Kong. It's time to go to Hong Kong and check in with Oscar Santana, who is broadcasting live from his hotel room with Todd Moore half naked in Hong Kong. Hello, Oscar. Are you there?
Which half?
Good evening, gentlemen. Here currently it is almost 11 p.m. I take it you're doing showtime around 11 a.m.
You sound so much better than you did earlier in the week from Beijing when I believe you'd had a little too much vodka.
Yeah, no vodka tonight, guys. I had a couple of drinks earlier in the day, but just trying to keep it straight and narrow. Big business going on tomorrow.
A lot that we can talk about, but unfortunately I have to dive right into your inappropriate comments to Chinese citizens.
Yes, when, I like this.
When a certain individual approached you, tell the story about your little population joke that you made to the father of a son.
Well, you know what's great about myself, and I think everybody in that room, including
Tony. Hey, what's
Tony,
great about you, Oscar?
is that there's no filter with any real radio guy that if they see some sort of opening for a joke, you throw it in there. So
you do. You dive right in.
Yeah, after a great business meeting, a business lunch, one of the gentlemen we were working with mentioned to us that he had one son. And I well know that you can only have one child in China.
Now, let's stop right there. You know they can only have one. Is this really true? That they, you said, because did you?
I thought there was a tax, is what I thought how they handled
it. Maybe that's it.
They don't kill their babies over there, do they?
As far as we know.
There's serious population control, and I know it's serious because when the gentleman said, oh, I have one son, I saw the opening for the joke, and I said, oh, do you have any other kids? And
God.
A Mack truck could have just ran through the front of the restaurant because at that point, I realized that the bit that I was trying to go with wasn't going anywhere, and he said, you know, we only have one child.
Oh, no, boy.
Really? And no. Now, did you say that? Yeah. What about the rest of your family? Did you say it with a twinkle in your eye?
I thought he would have got, like, everyone's going to slap their knee and high five. Like, this guy knows what's going on.
Okay. Big time fun.
Oscar, this guy that you chose to do some shtick with, the Costello to your Abbott, who was this guy?
He was one of the sales execs from the company we're possibly dealing with.
So do you think, had you had enough dealing with him?
Possibly until yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you have enough dealing with this guy before that you thought, hey, this is a guy who's got a sense of humor?
Not nearly enough.
Wow.
So this is a learning trip, really. Not so much a get business done trip.
Yeah. We call this, these are our idiots abroad.
Yeah, really.
That really, you know, why get vaccinated when you can find out if your Facebook is going to work?
No vaccine.
Over in China. So tell us, how's the trip going? You had mentioned you had a little problem with China Air.
Yes. Yeah, so when we flew from Beijing, we took China Air, or Air China, appropriately called, and when you're on Air China, a couple things you need to realize that it's not the TSA.
No.
So they don't make you take off your shoes. They don't make you take off your belt. You're lucky if they even throw you through a metal detector. But once you get on the plane after walking on the tarmac, you realize shortly in that no one really cares about the rules when they're smoking in the bathroom while you're taking off.
Wow.
They're smoking in the bathroom when you take off?
And nobody's saying anything. Everyone's just like kind of hanging out like this is like the status quo. Okay. No big deal.
How are the flight attendants?
Oh, they're all beautiful.
Really?
If there's no way that any airline in the country, especially the USA, could get away with what they do here because I don't even know how they do it with population control because they have to probably kill some pretty women. They just don't know they're pretty because they're babies.
Don't say that.
I think it's birth
sort
control.
Sort of a theme. Sort of a theme on today's
they're
call.
They're not killing people.
I'm sure that they have very stringent birth control, but I don't think they're throwing children into the river.
Again, the joke that would have been funny anywhere else in the world did not fly today. Yeah,
not all that funny, though.
And not anywhere.
Hey, it's funny to me. I'm unhinging my jaw over here.
So While they're smoking in the bathroom on the plane, are you allowed to use your cell phone during takeoff?
You know, you just interrupted the TV person.
Well, that's okay. That's
you know,
okay.
You did that. Did you realize? You did you know that you did that?
I did have a follow up. But
go ahead. Go ahead. Ask your question again, Rob.
You know what, Oscar? I have a question for you. Do you have time to entertain a question from Tony Perkins?
Yes.
My apologies.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, it's no problem. Here's my question. As a passenger on Air China, do they put you to work?
They only put you to work when you ask for the 10th beer and they don't want to serve you anymore.
So did you and your very tall brother, Todd, did you guys make a spectacle of yourself on China Air or Air China?
So they ran out of beer. We were really celebrating getting out of communist China, per se, because you're going to Hong Kong. So
well, technically, aren't you still in a communist country now? I mean, Hong Kong is now China. It is now all of China.
Right.
It's, you know, they have different Western-themed businesses, and it's a westernized part of Red China, but it is still Red China, is it not?
They have Facebook, and they have Twitter, and they have Google. It's a different world.
Those are the important things.
That's what really matters.
Right. Wow.
So you drank all the beer on the plane?
Yeah, so Todd decided, let's see if they have wine or liquor. So I said, that's probably not a good idea,
good
Todd.
Plan.
So he shimmies to the back of the plane. He asked for some white wine, comes back with 2 cups of white wine. And then when he shimmied back there, they said no more. And that's when the problem started.
Oh, they said no more? They cut you off?
And that's when the problem started?
Yeah, well, because then we were just kind of saying, if we were trying to see if other passengers would actually order for us. Oh, and that didn't really work out either.
Oh, so what you were trying to do was sort of trying to undermine the authority in a Chinese-owned airline.
Well, you
are so lucky.
You're
lucky you didn't end up in a stockade.
They're not coming back.
I like stockade, too.
Yeah. Were you the only Westerners on the plane?
Westerners.
Yes. The ladies next to us were getting hammered too, so we were all, you know, cheersing, yelling Asian words we didn't know. What we were
Once
saying.
Again, though, the question: were they Chinese?
Yes, they were. Everybody was except for us.
And were there any English speaking people on the plane?
The stewardesses could speak a little English.
Wow! And by the way, the word that I just picked up—they were cheersing.
You know, it sounds
so. They were toasting, I think. Yeah.
But you survived. You survived Beijing, and then you said you took a car. You hired a driver and went out into the industrialized part of the country.
Yes, Mike. As you know, this is a big country, so we decided that we were going to go away from
Good
our
point.
Tour group because we didn't have enough time to do the business and our bad jokes in Shenzhen, China. So we hired a private car to take us back into communist China across the border, hoping everything would work out.
What kind of car was it?
They said it was a limousine, but it was a minivan.
Okay.
It was a minivan.
All right.
And what was the industrialized part? The part, you know, Beijing, you hear a lot about. Mm-hmm. You don't hear about the countryside, and apparently there are some issues in the countryside. Industrial pollution,
yes.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. What did you encounter?
Well, at one point, not our factory, but the factory, I think, two streets down from ours, I thought there was an elementary school there. But apparently it was just all the workers coming out for lunch.
Oh, no.
Oh no.
So
it really is sweatshop stuff over there?
No, I'm just teasing.
Don't tease. I want to know real answers.
Real answers is, I don't know if this is just part of their media blitz, but it looked like there were a lot of people of age working there. But the one wild thing is the building right next door to the factory is all, it might as well be like an apartment building or condos. Uh-huh. And all the workers live right next to the factory.
Mm-hmm. That's so sad.
That's like Regis.
That's living next to the studio.
Living next to the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go downstairs, go into my sweatshop.
Or Mike having a studio in his living room.
That's true.
That's right.
Hey, it works for me.
Very similar. I think I don't see anything sad about it at all.
If I was sewing soccer balls, I'd feel the same way. If I could just come downstairs and do that, it would be
okay. The last
okay
thing
too.
You want to complain about is your commute.
That's true.
This is a sweatshop.
So this is the last we're going to check in with you, Oscar Santana, in China, in Hong Kong. An amazing city, though, correct? A magnificent city?
It is a beautiful city, very impressive. Tomorrow, the conference MoDev Asia starts. Yours truly will be speaking at 11:30 a.m. My topic is the future of radio.
You're speaking?
What?
Yeah, you're
doing public speaking?
We can barely understand him in this country.
Do they think you're a big shot?
They don't even know what's in store for. This is who's speaking before me. Dr. Kalpana Rajan, Associate Director of Environmental Health and Safety Office from Emory University.
Right.
And then it's Mr. Andy Glover, who's the Chief Technology Officer for a big company. And then it's your boy.
Wow. Wow. And then after that, are you done? Can you have fun and enjoy your weekend in Hong Kong? Your last couple of days in Hong Kong.
Yeah, we actually have a full day, and then tomorrow there's a trade show, and then I fly back on Sunday. So it'll be all work.
When are you going to experience the wild sex trade of
the pleasures
of
the East?
The pleasures of the East, exactly.
I like that.
Tomorrow night there is an excursion. I will be a fly on the wall. It should be a good time, though.
Really, you're not giving any detail. Is it something
we'll
very
get, we'll
special?
We'll get it out of him later.
I know.
Well, someone said when somebody says, "Do you want a massage?" It doesn't matter what type of massage you get, there's always a happy ending.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is a nice
now, see, I, yeah, I give that around.
China, not so bad.
That's nice.
That's terrific. Well, I have to give you your props here and tell you that the connections that you have had with this Skype. I know you and Todd are little techno geeks, and you guys have done a great job because we have not had any glitches at all. And it sounds like you're down the street. It's terrific, and I'm glad you're having a good time there.
Well, thank you for making the time for me to come out here, guys, and thank you for carrying the load while I'm gone.
And while you're on Hong Kong...
Rob says, relax, he ain't home yet.
That's right.
While you're in Hong Kong, try to get something that's made there.
Made in Hong Kong?
Yeah, bring it back so we can see what that's like.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a suit made while you're there? Will you have time to get a suit made?
Oh, when I was in Beijing, I had 3 suits made.
You had suits made in Beijing?
They made suits on the flight over.
Good for you.
That's right. Right after they were
like
pouring
smoke.
They were pouring the wine out. Well, have a fantastic time over there, and who knows what's going to happen, but hopefully you'll be on United flying back on Sunday and be back here in the bosom of your family on Monday morning.
I love you guys. Have a great show.
Thank you, Oscar Santana.
Goodbye, dear.
No more jokes.
Very nice.
There he goes.
Nice.
What could possibly go wrong?
Wow.
Yes. Of course, if he tells any more people that they kill babies, yeah. I think he's going to go to jail.
He won't be back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
The details of my life are quite inconsequential. Where do I begin? My father was a relentlessly self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium with low-grade narcolepsy and a penchant for buggery. My mother was a 15-year-old French prostitute named Chloe with webbed feet. My father would womanize, he would drink. He would make outrageous claims like he invented the question mark. Sometimes he would accuse chestnuts of being lazy, the sort of general malaise that only the genius possess and the insane lament. My childhood was typical. Summers in Rangoon, luge lessons. In the spring, we'd make meat helmets. When I was insolent, I was placed in a burlap bag and beaten with reeds. Pretty standard, really. At the age of 12, I received my first scribe. At the age of 14, a Zoroastrian named Vilma ritualistically shaved my testicles. There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking. I suggest you try it.
You know, we have to stop.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Live from Studio 1K in the Pfeifferplex Broadcast Center, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're downloaded worldwide 17.5 million times and powered by Encore Insurance. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, 102.9 FM WTNT in Washington, D.C., and the mighty 1630 KCJJ in Iowa. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2013, and our show is brought to you by ScoreBig.com, a letter from Steve Chopko. Uh-huh.
Oh, the Chopko guy.
What a cool. Do you know this guy?
Yeah, he owns a knife company.
He
not
what?
Really. I don't know him.
Thank you. He says, I already purchased Phillies tickets for much less than face value. I saw a huge savings when buying Taylor Swift tickets for my girlfriend and myself.
That's interesting for adults going to that show. Mm. Sorry, Steve. In Philadelphia, nosebleeds were $125 plus fees per ticket. On other websites, I found floor-level seats with the TMOS discount for roughly $65 a ticket on scorebig.com. Basically half off. Thank you so much, guys. And that's from Steve Chopko. We're talking about ScoreBig. Taking your family to a game can be expensive. Great seats up to 60% below the box office price. Your first stop, whatever you want to see, is scorebig.com. And if you use it the first time, you get $30 off your first order when you enter the code TMOS. Great seats, below box office prices, and an extra $30 off with your first order. No extra fees ever. Scorebig.com.
Yeah.
Check them out.
Do it.
There. Well, I feel like the show's half over after talking to China.
I feel like his life is half over.
Yeah.
Let us once again formally welcome our good friend, my classmate, my fellow American University alum, Tony Perkins.
Yay,
from
Tony.
Fox 5.
Thank you.
They didn't get you. We get you today. I am so glad to have you here. I've guested with you more than you've guested with me. Well, no, in the old radio days, you used to pop in a lot.
Yeah.
Because you love doing radio shows.
I love doing this. I love hanging with you guys. It is great fun.
Is this your first time to the living room?
Yes, it is.
Wow, welcome. We haven't seen you in some years, then.
I've not been to the living room. Mike has never had me to his home. Well, there was a party once, and I worked it. So.
Yeah. And a good job, too,
thank
Tony.
You, thank you.
And I will say, Tony, the canapé, they were delicious. Everybody was satisfied. Anyway, now let's do it because we have to do it on Thursday.
It's
bear
law.
With us before we get to panel and we talk about everything that we have.
Okay.
We have to get to a Thursday. Thursday is birthday day.
That's right.
And let's get right to it. Your last Friday, birthday, listener man. For life, Tommy Pico, had a birthday, but his girlfriend sent a request late and left out all the particulars. But happy birthday, Tommy. Last year, Mike met listeners Jason and April Hill, known since as the Swingers from Buffalo.
Remember them?
Oh, she was a hottie. Yeah.
How about him?
April's birthday. I don't care. April's birthday was Friday, and she'd like to hear Oscar thank her for keeping it tight. He can't. He's no longer online.
He's gone. Yeah.
Sunday, Daryl Taylor turned 40, which means he has now spent half his life listening to us. Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
Makes me feel old. Mm. Zachary Ryan earned the nickname Zach the Douche on Tuesday. He turned 28, which means his douchiest days are still ahead of him.
That's right. Oh,
nice. We met Dale West of Reno. He turned 55 Tuesday. Dale partied late with Mike and Rob. His wife got a birthday song from Buzz, and he's pretty sure Oscar made his girlfriend's nipples move.
Yeah, that's what
really?
He said.
Oscar has this power.
Wow. Yeah.
Also Tuesday, Stephanie Forge had a birthday, a listener long before the podcast. She would love a greeting from Jesse Ventura. Stephanie, it's a conspiracy.
You don't think it's really her birthday?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's such a thing as a birthday.
It's just sort of something what the establishment says it?
I think we're all hatched. Yesterday, Alex Ephraim turned 33, and he'd like Charlie to tell him the secret to living to such a ripe old age.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Well, Charlie, you're old.
I'm very old.
How old are you?
73.
No, not yet.
72?
72.
When am I going to be 73?
December 13th of this year.
Oh, Rob.
Anyway. Twyla Rieger turned 7 yesterday. That's 7. That greeting's important to her uncle, longtime listener Spencer.
Right.
Have some of your own kids, Spencer.
All right. No, I've gotten mail from Spencer. Don't reproduce, Spencer.
Okay. Yeah. Today, Keenan McCree of Pittsburgh, California, turned 38. Loves the birthday segment and would like to hear from the fully turgid Jim Nance from the Masters.
Oh.
Oh, my God. A delightful day at Augusta. The azalea line fairways give way to the blue skies of Augusta, Georgia, as the players remove their pants and frolic naked in the
Butler Cabin?
In Butler Cabin. And then the skinny dipping continues well into the evening as they dip into Ray's Creek, ignoring the leeches and enjoying a beautiful afternoon that is the majesty of Augusta.
At any point, Mr. Nance.
Yes, Rob. Hi.
Hi, Jim. Will you be receiving a branch anywhere from the Eisenhower Pine?
The Eisenhower Pine will be slowly and carefully inserted in all the right places. Thank you very much. I have to do more of that. I forgot.
I thought you would do it for the Open.
It's yes. Oh, that means there'll be some writing tonight.
That's right.
There'll be some drunken writing tonight. Let's see. Okay, we've got Michael White turned 39. He'd love a greeting from D.C.'s mayor for life, Marion Barry.
I just want to say my diabetes is under control. I got the sugars, and I'm doing my very best. Thank you very much, Michael White.
Tomorrow, Scotty Hulick turns 30 and would be mightily amused to hear anything from Garrison Keillor.
Very popular.
Oh, this is a popular one, Mike.
Oh, Scotty, who like the Prairie Home Companion? Mrs. B's Biscuits saying Scotty, who look turns 30. Garrison Keillor saying over and out.
All right. Jay Campbell of Madison, Wisconsin turns 39 tomorrow, and he'd like some wisdom from Smart Charlie. No. Daniel Tichy turns 40 Saturday. He's his. We're the only show that cares about yogurt makers.
This is true.
That's a dirty little thing we did early in the week. We'll explain it later, Tony. Okay. He'd be much obliged if Mike would talk up a record. Any record for Daniel Tichy turning 40.
You feel up to it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I chose your favorite. I believe, Mike.
Oh, good.
WTNT. 15 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, we want to say hi to Daniel Tichy, who turned 40 on Saturday. Is it last Saturday or is it this Saturday? We're really not sure, but it doesn't matter. Smoke a joint, do a line of coke, have a beer, and have a great birthday party.
Hi, baby.
Yeah. He's still got it.
Thank you, baby. Sunday, April Hicks turns 30, and she just isn't excited. Oh. Wow. Her husband wonders if a sexy greeting from Buzz would help April.
Well, sure. April, I just want you to know my prostate is ready to serve.
What? What was that?
My prostate
is spreading to serve?
Is ready to serve.
Oh, ready to serve.
Ready to serve.
And how are you preparing this prostate? Like in a slow cooker?
That's gross.
Yogurt maker.
Last two. On Monday, Michael Connor turns 31. He's been listening since WAVA. Today, he's a programmer at Facebook and also expecting a baby. Well, I can relate to that.
Cool.
Michael Butler's been listening since before he was born, 21 years ago. He'd like a greeting from an old favorite, Ben, the WJFK engineer.
Sure.
Janitor, yes. Ben, the WJFK janitor.
Hi, Michael.
That's it.
That's it. That was great.
Happy birthday, everybody.
That's the amount of effort that Ben used to do in keeping the building clean.
Look, I love having guests in the studio. I love Oscar from China. Yeah. I like doing the birthdays when we're not supposed to do them, but I'm ready for normalcy.
Yeah, okay, let's relax.
Time for a
and
nap.
It is, so it, we welcome you, and now we finally can just talk about you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Because you are an old pal of mine, and you have been in every quadrant of television broadcasting. You have been to the top of the mountain.
Yes.
On ABC's Good Morning America.
Yes.
And now I'm
at Channel 5.
And I'm in my living room. And it only gets worse. Hey, you're at a television station. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there where, you know, old people fart.
But Mike, you know, to make you feel better, I'm not even in my own living room. I have to come to yours.
So it's even worse. That's rough.
So you, I think that you're chugging along and you're, you know, you were the weather guy. You were at Channel 5. You were a field reporter, kind of the human interest reporter.
Yes.
And then you moved to the weather desk.
I did weather and feature reporting.
Ah, okay.
So I was, remember back in the day, there was Tom Sater, weather guy,
mm-hmm.
and Holly Morris,
right.
The feature reporter. Ah. I was both of them.
Weather and features is like Lowell Meltzer.
This is true. But Tony's successful.
Right.
That's exactly the difference.
I'm not.
And now you are officially an anchor person.
I've moved out of the world of weather to the anchor desk, which is great.
And you're enjoying your life over at Channel 5.
I love
5.
It very much. Yes.
That's a good thing.
Well, I mean, because I like you guys, I love the people I work with. And I'm being very honest.
It's a Allison, great crew there. Tucker,
well, and it's really a fun medium. Really
how long have you been at Channel 5?
Complicated question. I've been there 8 years now, but I was there for about 8 years before Good Morning America, so total 16 years.
And, you know, Tony is a graduate of American University back in the day when we used to play air guitars to the Rolling Stones.
Sure did.
Outside a little RV that we had set up because we did a muscular dystrophy radiothon.
You know what I remember most about that? I would be Mick Jagger.
Yes, and you loved Mick Jagger. You loved doing your Mick Jagger impression.
But we would have this little trailer set up, and early in the day we would set up like milk crates to look like a drum set,
right,
and cover them with a blanket. Now people could see us doing this, but we would set it up
so it looked like drums that were really under there,
right, and wait a couple hours, and then we would start to get this rumor going that the Rolling Stones are going to be out here,
right.
It's milk crates under a blanket.
Under a blanket.
Right.
That's
it's
right.
Like the Rolling Stones are going to perform on the quad at AU.
And I remember that I was not in the band. I was kind of on the periphery of that. Mm-hmm. There were pictures of me that somebody took where I was interviewing kids watching the Rolling Stones.
Oh, is that so where that pathetic. Picture is from?
That's the little picture.
With the two horrified children?
Yes.
And you with all that hair.
Why there were small children on a college campus, I do not
know.
I don't think it was any of the co-eds kids.
No, I don't think so.
As far as I knew. And I was sitting there, and then it was like Ron Kersh and
Goldie.
Jeff Gold.
Yeah.
and Shalom Rabbi Shmuley. No, I mean, it was like everybody else that was there.
Right.
And Tony and I were the only goys in the whole group.
Yeah, that's true.
They could have called the band the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
Oh, I've got a stone.
But it was the, and we all worked at the radio station on campus there at American University.
Good times, good times. When you spun records and you had your beer party, didn't you do it like something that where you would drink and also?
That, Tony will remember that because Tony probably didn't hang out. Tony didn't, you know, you didn't roar as much as I did because
nobody did.
It's the reason why you're more successful than I am because I plunged into alcoholism at a very young age. And so I was the club DJ at 61 WAMU night at the Tavern, which was on Tuesday nights. And I don't think I've ever said this in front of you. When I went through, I can still remember how I laid out my schedule. I wouldn't have a class until probably 6 o'clock on 6:30. We had 6:30 classes on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have my first class of the week until 6:30 on Monday night.
Now, did you
So during the fall, it would be where do I start the partying? Because it really
what
was
your
was
last
nonstop.
Class on Friday?
We would stop Thursday. I'll take you through Monday. Right?
Okay.
Monday was recovery day,
of course.
And we would be watching the football games on Sunday,
and then
that would party. You know, we would party all into the evening on that way. Then we'd have recovery day on Monday. Then I would have a class at 6:30. I would have maybe one class on Tuesday. Tuesday night was 61 WAMU night at the Tavern, which went very, very late.
That's convenient.
That's true.
And then I'd have a couple of classes on Wednesday. That's a terrible
rough.
Day. I hated
rough.
It.
Wednesday was like lab day.
It's just everybody's studying. Everybody's working on Wednesday. Very dull day on a college campus. Thursday is the beginning of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe an early morning class on Thursday, but doubtful. Because I'd be ramping up, and then we would have the pregame for just going out on the town. And Thursday night, we would go out. Uh-huh. Like, we'd go to Armand's Chicago-style pizzeria and drink beers. We'd go down to Alexandria and go to the fish market and drink their schooners of beer there. And that was Thursday night going out. Because Friday, you would normally have a toga party on Friday night that would be down in the regular community hall where we would all put togas on. And then Friday and Saturday nights would be in-house parties.
So every week, you would squeeze in one serious day of going to college.
It was more of a day of recovery than it was squeezing.
When you talked about laying out your
seriously, it's what my junior and senior year. That's kind of my schedule. That's what I would do.
When you talked about laying out your schedule, you were very precise about times of classes.
Yes.
Did the classes themselves matter? Did you know what classes they were, or was it just you needed something that was started at 6 o'clock on a Monday night?
You couldn't narrowcast it that well. You could do your schedule, but you couldn't do what classes you were going to take.
Okay,
they fall at a certain time.
Sure,
I know I had a United States history course on Monday nights, and it would just be I'd be sitting there, you know, in like eighth row, just going.
I never partied that much.
I know. That's because you were preparing for your future.
Yeah.
Look what happened with you. Meanwhile, beautiful education, bachelor of arts degrees in broadcast journalism for both of us. You know, you used yours.
I was
basically going out to spin records, at WOHN in Herndon.
When you had that Monday night class, was it a once a week class? So it was a lengthy class. Was there a break in the middle?
Yep.
You ever drink during the break?
Left during the break.
Oh, a lot of times.
More often than not.
But how did you graduate?
Listen, I barely did.
Skin of his teeth.
Do you remember the algebra competency requirement that we had at American University? Do you remember that?
I do not.
You probably didn't require it because you got great grades in algebra.
Because I don't remember doing that.
I transferred in.
So there.
You went to all 4 years, right?
Yes, I did. Four and a half.
I transferred. Really?
Yeah.
Four and a half?
Shall we call you Dr. Perkins?
No. I don't know what happened.
Neither does Mike.
Maybe I did party more.
I didn't know you were learning disabled.
No, I just it took me an extra half year.
Really?
Yeah.
I had to clean up some credits.
I transferred in from Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, where Bill O'Reilly got his degree.
You were roommates with Bill O'Reilly.
He was there much earlier.
Oh, I
bunk
see.
Mates, yeah. Really.
And he was just walking around the hallways going, "We'll do it live." And so I went to American University, and they had an algebra competency requirement.
Right.
And I am so mathematically challenged, as you guys know from all these years of working with me. And we had to take an algebra competency test if you hadn't achieved, I think it had to be a C+ or better in an algebra course. I got a C in my one like remedial algebra course that I took at American University. So I had to take right up till 1981, to the spring semester of 81. I was still toiling every week. And we went in the last time I was going to take it before I'd have to go back and go to the next semester. And they made an announcement that if you had achieved a C minus or better, that they would waive the algebra competency requirement. So I took the test anyway, and I passed it. And so the long and short of it was I graduated.
You're still using it. You said the long and short of it.
That's
some algebra terms.
X equals Y, Z.
Never got it.
Perfect.
Never understood.
D, whatever.
The good thing about it is after you pass that test, what a reason to celebrate. Maybe you could have a drink.
Well, there's a picture of me standing next to my father at graduation, and I was not well. We will take a break and come back with more with Tony Perkins from Fox 5. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Here comes the sun.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the program is brought to you by our Amazon page. We have a wonderful note that Howard Colt or Coit.
Spell it.
It's
Howard K.
You know, baby broadcasters. And we have a couple of broadcast veterans. We have all broadcast veterans in the studio right now. Please pre-read your copy before you go on the internet. Howard Coit.
How do we spell it?
C-O-I-T, and he's here with us. Coit and us. He posted this on our show timeline. Hi, Mike. I'm a big fan, been listening for many years. I'm the director of purchasing for two community colleges in California. We order between $5,000 to $10,000 from Amazon on a monthly basis.
Wow.
I just wanted the gang to know I'm entering Amazon through your website to make purchases.
Good. Good boy, Coit.
That's what we ask. We ask all of you to do that. Every day can be Earth Day with the whole line of eco-friendly products from Amazon's seventh generation line, from paper and cleaning products to organic foods and gardening, from solar phone chargers to solar panels. Seventh generation even makes Earth-friendly products for your office. Save the planet, save money, and support this show. Click and bookmark the Amazon link at MikeOmeraShow.com.
That's easy.
That's the way we like you business owners when you
we
go through
you,
our page.
We love you, Howard.
Let's send him a sticker or something.
Real easy. If you want to shop on Amazon, go to MikeOmeraShow.com, and that's terrific. Yeah. We appreciate that from Howard Coit. I haven't even told you what's on the show today.
No, you've not.
No, we need to know.
There are a few things I would like to discuss. I'd like to talk about social networking and civility.
That's in the news, as it turns out.
Because there is a survey out today, and we'll cover that a little bit. Yes. There is a huge viral video that's making its way around the internet and also mainstream media right now. It's a video of a guy in a kayak who is fishing out of his kayak, which I've seen. A lot of people do that. And there's a shark that apparently goes after a tuna that he's got on the line.
He hooks a bluefin, I think.
And it breaches in back of him, and I think it's complete crap. And nobody has said it yet, but it seems to me it's just like when the baby was picked up by the hawk.
Right.
I think it's exactly the same thing. And these things get to mainstream media without being properly vetted, and I still think it's a fake.
But how do you get a shark to come out at a certain time unless it's one of Spielberg's mechanical sharks? What do you think he did?
This is all done by computers. This is what I think. Yeah. The guy is sitting... He's sitting in a well. You know about TV, Tony. He's sitting. He's sitting in the kayak, and he's got he's got his little fishing line, and then you look and perfectly framed over his right shoulder is the shark face and all coming out of the water, and I think it's crap. I think it's fake.
I agree with you. I think they're matching up maybe two different videos, and you can. I mean, people can do this in their homes.
Exactly.
Very clean. Very professional. I think it's a fake too.
And there isn't there a school in Canada specifically?
Well, the baby and the hawk video was actually a homework assignment for a
Canadian school.
For a Canadian school.
I never knew. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Where they say, we want you to see if you can generate a video that will go viral.
Right.
So this seems to be what people do now. And when it's a perfect video, now it's quick. You see the shark come out of the water. And the only way you see the full face of the shark is when it's freeze framed. But it seems to me like it might be
Have to require an amazing amount of luck from every angle to make it be captured just that right. And was it shot with the camera like this, with the phone up and down or lengthwise? Because
it looks like one of those, what are those cameras we had when we went to
GoPro.
It looks like it's a GoPro where he's got it, you know.
The resolution is just grainy enough where maybe they could alter it around a little bit. I hadn't thought about that, but now that you presented it to me.
What are we supposed to believe anymore? I mean, you can't believe anything. Your eyes, you can't believe what you see. Next, you're going to say reality shows aren't real.
That's right.
Well, Buzz, I like that Buzz is so old school that his original question about this was, how do you get the shark to come up at that angle? Not that it was trick photography.
Yeah, you were doing.
I haven't seen the videos.
Tony, it was a union shark.
You were going back to Spielberg like they're going to have some plastic shark. This is done with
computer. That's how we did it back in the day, Mike.
Right, that's right.
When you do your fake videos?
That's right.
He would sneak into Universal Studios.
We use puppets.
And that big mechanical.
So let's talk about the whole deal. I'm making no secret about the fact, and I know you have to be neutral in your role as an anchor man, so you don't have to comment on this, but the NRA has now informed Congress they will be evaluating and scoring the legislators based on this this upcoming legislation that may not even get up to the field. I just wanted to say F off to all of them.
You know what? Jerk store. That's exactly what it is.
And I'm not quitting. I was on Facebook this morning, and I knew what I was going to get, and it spilled over. When it spills over into the social networking, I know exactly what's going to happen to me, and I know that there's going to be an immediate response because people are so passionate. The link that I shared today, which was from a guy named Bob Miles, and he wrote, if your first reaction to shootings is to think Obama/liberals are going to try to take our guns, your priorities as a human being suck.
Yeah.
And all I did was just post that on my page.
You just shared it.
I just shared it with it. That's exactly what the dude faggle terminology is.
You shared it on your page.
I shared it, and immediately, without any hesitation, people went bat-ass.
Yep.
And, you know, Mike, if you really knew what was going on, why is it the people? And I just, look, I understand it's going to provoke debate and people are going to talk about this type of thing. But, you know, there was a survey that we have become less civil. Is that what it is? Do you have that story?
Yes. A new survey shows that 78% of us, nearly 4 out of 5 of us, have noticed that our friends are getting ruder in their posts and responses on Facebook. 8 out of 10 of us.
Mark, you're pointing at Mark.
Are noticing
he's an a-hole.
More rudeness.
Such a jerk.
In posts and responses on Facebook. And in fact, 1 in 5 of us have actually defriended somebody in real life, dropped a real life friend because of something we saw online.
I've done it to family. I've done it to family based on political rants.
Really?
I'm all for people having their opinion, but when you come outwardly accusing other people of being stupid or disagreeing with you, and I'm talking about blood relatives. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read it on my page.
The problem with social media is it people, when you look at it, it devolves, the level of discourse devolves very quickly.
Immediately.
Very quickly. There may be 2 lines of reasoned argument, and then it's the name calling and
Jane,
the insanity.
Jane, you ignorant slut, yes.
Right. How have you managed to stay off Facebook?
This has been a battle because we recently, at my job, the mandate was everybody get on Facebook. We need you out there.
Right.
You got to be doing
this. Yeah, every media outlet wants to do that.
I went to the boss and said, I'm not on Facebook as a choice. I'm not on it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on it professionally.
Right.
I don't want to have that kind of discourse going on because it happens very quickly.
That's why you haven't answered my friend request.
Yesterday, Allison, lovely Allison, my co-anchor, she came to my desk. She said, look what was just posted.
My hand just slipped.
So sloppy.
What was that? Interference.
On her Facebook, someone had posted 2 pornographic photos.
Oh,
gentleman
Tucker,
saying,
Tucker
should not be doing this. This is what I'd like to do to you.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's scary.
Scary. Really,
you don't want that.
Okay, I had a moment today, though. This is, I will call this my social networking happy ending. And I'm not the happy ending that Oscar was talking about.
He really loves Facebook.
Yeah. Boy.
This is, I'm trying to find the guy. His name is Kevin. I won't give you his last name. But he was talking. He was one of these guys. What you get when you have the gun people that are making their arguments, they give you a lot of statistics about other things that can kill kids.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. And this guy was doing swimming pools.
Oh, yeah.
So it got me a little peeved because I was getting so many of these from everybody where I just thought it was kind of nice to. when something like this happens, I'm a believer that you should reflect on the tragedy and show compassion for the people that have gone through the tragedy. That was right. really the reason I posted this. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was an Obama there was a liberal there, and that gets people all
it
up in arms.
It seems to push buttons.
But yeah. the gun people also get kind of out of their minds about it, and so they will throw the statistics, and I was getting dozens. I got about 70 messages today, and about half of them, of course, as usually is the case, are from the people that are saying, don't take our guns,
right.
don't reach into our houses
Nobody's
and do that. And do we have to break?
We do. We got 20 seconds.
All right, when I come back, I'm going to share with you the social networking happy ending that really was a feel-good story. I think it'll touch your heart, everybody.
I can't wait.
We'll take a break. Come back on the Mike O'Barra Show. Thank you very much, everybody.
I need somebody help.
You're playing Beatles music because Tony Perkins is here.
Where do you hear the Tony Perkins flavored audio vault today? Something special.
Not only is he playing Beatles music, he's playing the U.S. version of the Help album with the James Bond opening.
He's the greatest.
That's the connection these two have. The Beatles.
Why don't you two get a bathtub with tapioca pudding
That's right.
and just spend the afternoon in it?
Play you with know, our yellow submarines.
Tony, I'd love for you to get on Facebook because I could put pictures on your wall.
We have a Paul story a little bit later on, too.
Cool.
If we get to it. This portion of the program is brought to you by Vistaprint.com. We've told you before, they can print almost anything, and that now includes personalized iPhone cases. It's easy to design an iPhone case for every part of your life, your company, your team, your family, even just a personal message, and they start at just $9.99. This is a good investment for your business. Prospective clients will notice it. Vistaprint is a small business's best friend, offering quality and affordability for marketing and for printing. We use them. All iPhone cases are 50% off for TMOS listeners, and if you order, if the order tops $30, the shipping is absolutely free.
Right.
Satisfaction is always guaranteed. Just go to Vistaprint.com/TMOS and send us a picture of your customized iPhone cases.
Show
I'd love
cases.
To see
Mark,
that.
You made a TMOS iPhone case. How long did it take?
Honestly, it took about 5 minutes.
And it looks fantastic.
I have my, you know, if you have your logo, all you have to do is upload it right to their little
and they
design
size it,
creator.
They size it for you.
And they size it for you. It's
so cool.
So simple.
That's great.
Wow.
So this guy, Kevin, writes me after I posted that thing about if you react to the shootings by worrying about them taking your guns, then your priorities are messed up as a human being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody starts hating on me about that, including this guy, Kevin, that says, you know, more kids are killed in pools than they are by handguns. And then, you know, why can't we just have a respectful discourse over this type of thing? And he wanted respect, and he was giving that to me, and I'd just gotten like 40 of
them. Is he trying to take away my pool?
So I wrote him this on my own thread.
Okay.
So I'm not only on social networking, but I dive in with both feet.
He does.
Sometimes to a fault.
Okay.
I write to Kevin. And Kevin Ford, when I mention their full names.
Oh, well, you.
And by the way, Kevin Ford. Oh, I gave his name.
You've crossed that line.
We'll edit that out.
And Kevin Ford, thanks so much for informing us that swimming pools are dangerous. I know that you want respect, so please take this as is intended.
Okay.
F off.
Wow.
That is so sweet.
And then, you know, and the thing, I think one of the reasons there's lack of civility is I'm eating my yogurt.
Of course.
Hold it, but you're speaking very literally.
No, I was having Greek yogurt, not yogurt making.
Oh, okay.
I was having Greek yogurt, and I write that, and then I go back to my breakfast, just casually.
Just easily.
Right, just la-da-da. By the way, F off. These are good blueberries.
And you know, as you're eating your Chobani, and did you mix it or did you not mix it?
Carla, I'm very spoiled when it comes to my... every morning, seriously, you know what she makes for me?
What?
She makes me a lovely Greek yogurt blueberry... dried cranberry and granola parfait.
Excellent.
Wow.
That's very healthy.
Wow.
That's a great breakfast.
Isn't that delightful?
It really is.
And followed by some eggs and light English muffins with some very lean Canadian bacon.
Would you like to hear what Carrie does for me every morning?
What does she do?
All right. So when you're eating your yogurt.
Is that the sound of Carrie making your breakfast?
Yeah, it's the Carrie of doing everything to better the marriage. When you're making your, and you do this discourse, you know that, you know, between your bites of yogurt, not only can you do this without ever even raising your ass out of the chair, you know he's going to see it, mm-hmm. and you know it's going to get to him.
And I can block him after. I've done that, too.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Where you give the response, and then you block the person.
Oh, no. That's not good.
It's great. You should try it.
Thank you, Tony.
No, it's not good. You know what I love? But I always like to do one last thing. Before I unfriend or block, I always write one thing. Usually, it's been nice. And then they're out of there. But what you know he's going to see it, but
you want to acknowledge the fact that you're getting rid of them. But I didn't do that with this guy.
You kept him around?
There were too many of them. The thread was so enthusiastic, and there were so many people that wanted to give their point of view that I didn't. I said, look, and these are and most of the people really that were attacking today were not on my friends list. This guy had a pending friend response, and that counts to me. So I didn't.
And that allowed him to write on your wall.
Him.
Yeah,
I didn't. No, but I mean, I got even non-friends were writing on my wall about this.
You know, I think you probably have your privacy settings, so friends of friends can post on your
That's
wall.
That's exactly what happened. Okay. So I wrote the F off, and I wish I could go back to what he had written earlier, but it gets all jumbled up when you're trying to get a timeline on this stuff.
But when you're talking about civility, you know that if this was real life and this was a real conversation or anything where you actually heard a voice or saw a face, there's no way you would do that.
But here's a guy that I give tremendous credit to. Because at this point, he sends me a personal message.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, normally when I saw it, I'm like, here we go. Yeah.
Right.
Because that's normally the 11 pages of. And another thing.
Right.
Let me tell you why I think you don't have any testicles. You know, that type of thing.
Mike runs to the deadbolt.
He writes me, "Hey, Mike, sorry I stirred S up. I'm a longtime fan since I was a kid in middle school and I found the radio. I've been listening to the podcast from the beginning. You can tell me to F off for putting my agenda on your page, but I thought it was sort of an invite for a debate when others began voicing opinions." Right. Which he's right about.
Yes. Okay.
Fair point.
It is.
Fair
I mean,
point.
If everybody's giving their opinions, sorry I missed your intentions. I'll F off now.
That's nice.
Isn't that great?
So I wrote him back. I wrote him back. "Thanks for the personal message. I just friended you. You were the recipient of my anger over the entire thread. No worries. Most of the folks on the thread had not done a friend request. You had. All is well. On today's show, we'll discuss civility on social networks. You should listen. I'll discuss this exchange," which I'm doing.
Very You're nice. A very complicated
very nice.
Man.
This is very
Why am I now? Because you are.
Complex.
Because if you went from F off to honoring a friend request.
But you are slash and burn. You don't. I mean, somebody will talk about a flavor of ice cream they don't like, and you will unfriend them.
I will. Because I know what? That's valuable real estate.
But
man.
Don't you think in a way that that's not fair?
It's fair to me.
That's not a very nice way to look at it.
Here's the
way. It's kind of a window into Rob's soul.
What you should look at your Facebook page. Your Facebook page, Mike.
Yes.
Your actual wall is like a party you're throwing. Okay, and whether or not you're going to be attending and handing out.
Start this again. You give yourself some musical accompaniment.
You want some music for this?
Rob Spiewak on the Facebook.
I love the opening line.
Tony. No one loves it more than he does.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And normally, nobody gets more ego gratification out of it than Rob Spiewak.
Uh-huh.
This is Rob's world. Facebook is Rob's
world.
This is what I do. I finally found a way to interact without leaving the inn of doors.
And without really having to deal with people.
Right, right. And always on my terms, right. Tony.
Are
right.
you selecting a special musical accompaniment for yourself right now?
I am, Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
Your Facebook wall is like a party.
Mm-hmm.
You throw this party on a daily basis. Doors are open. You've invited, in your case, 5,000 people. They can come to the party. They can leave the party.
I have to interrupt you and say that I use my Facebook page as a promotional vehicle for the show.
I never have.
And my own opinions primarily.
I never have
used
it.
Thank you for doing that, Mike.
Never
Thank you very much, Mark.
Because the Facebook wall, Mike, your wall is like a party.
Mm-hmm.
And you've invited 5,000 people. And sometimes these people will come. Sometimes they'll bring their own friends.
Right.
But this is your party. You set the table. You set the tone. You have the ability to delete.
Let me stop you right there.
All right.
If you were having a big party, though.
Right.
You wouldn't just, if someone was perhaps eating a snack that you didn't particularly care for when they walked in the door, you wouldn't just willy-nilly throw them out of your house.
Depends on the snack.
You're lying. You wouldn't do that.
What if it's. They're eating a Heath bar. I don't particularly like Heath bars. I'd let them stay. But if they're eating a handful of dog crap, I'd ask them to leave.
Well, come on.
But you, on your real Facebook page, you will unfriend people for nothing.
Well, let's say we're at this party. Let's say we're at this party.
All right.
And you or I, Mike, are drinking.
Yes.
Have you ever done anything unreasonable when you've been drinking? I have.
Well, I'll answer you like I would a lawyer in a deposition. No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I have. And sometimes if someone comes out and says something hateful about something I love, they insult my jukebox, and I've had a few glasses, mm-hmm. they're out of there. Because I don't want to hear that. Wow, this is my party.
But you're using an egregious example. I want one of the softer examples. You have said that you will unfriend
somebody.
People. Somebody, for example, somebody will write a post that says... Zippy and I went down to the local farmer's market. I've never seen the squash look better. And you'll go, unfriend him. I don't like that anymore.
I will. But you know what? I really have unfriended people over Wegmans.
What now? What? Explain that.
Yeah. People get passionate what is about wrong Wegmans. With you?
I hate Wegmans.
Do you really?
I do.
It's a ground. It's a phobia. It's a groundless fear.
No fear.
Groundless hatred.
It's ridiculous. It's a wonderful grocery store, and you're completely irrational.
You know what? This
is
the same reason you like the renamed pork. Because the whole industry is taking you for a ride, and you're going to close your eyes and enjoy it and pay $5 more a pound for a New York chop when it's the same thing.
Yeah. Independent surveys show that Wegmans is cheaper than Safeway and Giant.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, it can be cheaper because of the way they play you by setting up the store geographically to make you walk through their olive bar and their hot foods and the comedy club.
From the olive bar.
But you have to walk through it.
This is the anger that I would love to be able to harness on the show.
The energy.
And I'd love you to use it in a different way, but you're directing this incredible venom towards simple grocery store visitors.
Try getting out of the parking lot of Wegmans. Oh, it's easy to get in, but it's impossible to get out. And you have to walk 3/4 of a mile to get a gallon of milk.
There it is.
Because
that might be the issue.
Yeah, it's the walking.
Too much exercise.
Carrie, is there any way you could drop me out of the front door?
Well, we're not all blessed with boundless energy like Mike O'Mara.
Can you drop me out? Please, Carrie.
This is like a therapy session.
Welcome to the show.
There are 11 spaces between me and the door.
It's amazing,
God,
Mike.
And it's 80 degrees. It's not my favorite Washington, D.C. temperature of 45 that I like so much.
You hear, but you don't listen. You're not hearing. You're not hearing what I'm telling you. Right. You're forced to go through everything.
We were talking about social media.
That's right.
He's right. My Giant, I'm so ticked off. Can I say pissed off?
Yeah, you can.
Pissed off. My Giant, they keep changing it around. Uh-huh. The bread in my Giant, I have to walk past everything else. The bread should be right there near the front door.
Exactly.
And
but they make
that's
you.
What most people
that's
come
they
in
get,
for.
Yeah.
They make you get something. You know, even Costco. Right. Love Costco. My favorite business in the world. To get to the things you need. Toilet paper, paper
right,
towels,
all the
and
way
Coke.
Back.
Back corner.
Yeah.
And it's
they
all
know what they're doing.
Sugary, syrupy Coke.
I'm just saying that.
So you don't mind walking to the back at Costco, but you hate it at Wegmans.
Yeah.
I'm going to open my mouth up wider so you can put more words in it. No. What I said is,
okay,
even though Costco.
Diet Coke.
We've been through this, Mike. You know that I mostly drink water and booze. That's it. A couple sodas a week.
His cheeks are getting red.
But what I said is even Costco does it because it's smart business. But Wegmans has taken it to the next level by making it that big. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And also what I don't dig
would
is
it be
people...
accurate? Would it be accurate to say that Wegmans is probably not one of your favorites due to the inconvenience of accessing the processed foods?
That's not fair.
I'm just having fun.
What about
I'm having fun over here.
But you see, you're not having fun about the right things. You're being sucked in. You have been sucked in. And you know what? There's for every person that's right thinking like me, there's 10 people walking the street saying, I love Wegmans. It's wonderful. Well, of course you love it because they fooled you into thinking you love it.
You're a frugal man.
I am.
You like price.
I do.
You like to get a good bargain.
I will pay more than Wegmans prices. Because I don't want to have to go there.
He's going to unfriend.
What about
us,
the?
You know?
What about? Isn't Wegmans the one with the nice outlay of food, and you can go get your lunch there? And
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's fantastic.
Great like lunches. That.
Mike has never cared one lick about it until he found out I hated it.
No, it's not true. I just,
ever eaten lunch there?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Too.
What did you have?
I had actually seafood.
And what kind?
I think I had oysters. And I think I had chowder.
And then we had to miss the show the next day.
No, that's terribly unfair. You're absolutely right about the crowds.
Yes.
And you have been to Wegmans when there's been a grand opening, and you know that first month or so is an absolute bat-ass to
right,
go to one of these
right.
places.
Yes.
But I will also tell you that when I went in and got just an amazing price on the groceries, that guy said,
right.
I thought this was a high-dollar place.
Right.
That, you know, I thought it was going to be like whole paycheck, the other joint.
But
know?
When you go in and you're actually... You make the long trek into the grocery section of Wegmans. You ever notice how the aisles are set up? They're not parallel and even like in a normal grocery store.
Now, I'm going to agree with you. It is not an easy store to negotiate.
Because they want you to stay longer and spend more money. That's why they send bananas. They have bananas 19 cents a pound. They should be giving away bananas because the bananas don't matter to them. What they want you to do is walk the aisles for miles and buy your fancy dried sugared cranberries or whatever the hell it is they sell that is so great.
Hey.
And
you're going to get sucked in. Do what? They put them at the back?
No, the produce is up front. Okay. Produce is up front.
I thought maybe the 19-cent bananas were
No, no. Bananas are a loss leader, Tony.
That's right.
They bring you in. Yes. You're going to lose money on bananas because they're going to screw you with the olives.
This was a discussion that we were going to have about social networking.
But you brought it to this.
Well, because you unfriend somebody if they like a grocery store, you incredible hump.
No, you see... If you are at a party and someone does something
we're
you don't like...
We're going back to your original premise
right.
here?
All right. Someone does something you don't like, won't you ask them to leave? If it's something egregious that it's ruining your time at your
party. Do you know Wegmans was voted Fortune 500, the Fortune magazine's 100 best companies to work for?
Well, did you know that George W. Bush was elected twice?
Can I say about the whole party premise?
So here's to voting.
He makes a good point.
If I'm having a party and right. someone is walking in eating a snack, that is not cool. That's not cool.
So you unfriend them.
I'm going to have snacks.
And that's when Tony would walk up and go, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Here's your banana and go.
Unacceptable.
Well,
it's not the best analogy, but I know this. Wegmans is not the best grocery store either.
My feeling is...
Got a wonderful giant in Leesburg.
In order for me to block somebody or unfriend them, they either have to say something very personal and rude to me, or right. they have to just be so completely opposed to my point of view that I just am pissed off at them and I don't want to interact
with
them
anymore.
All
right, let me ask you this. What about
why I unfriend people.
What about someone who on Facebook you realize
and
they
if you
have...
mention the fam, I go beyond that. I block you.
That's understandable.
You.
Of course.
Don't mention my wife or my kids. Right. That'll piss me off.
What if you run into someone on Facebook that is so non-participatory that... If you like wish them a happy birthday, you look on their wall, and the last thing that happened on their wall was you wishing them happy birthday. They literally haven't done anything in a year. I defriend them because there's people on Facebook that want to interact, and so I clear out stuff that way as well.
That's okay. Just not because of where they shop.
Well, no, especially because where they shop.
I'll give you a classic example. I just randomly went to the news feed right now on Facebook, okay?
I'm going
to
unfriend somebody.
This is the kind you hate. 2 inches 2 inches of rain in the next hour. Welcome back to spring, Louisiana.
Yes, I hate that.
You see,
that's
you
the kind of crap that...
That's why I'm not on it.
That,
right. I don't care. Hey, I'm eating an orange in my car. Good for you. Who cares?
It's true.
But for us, we have used a little primer for you on new media that we do here. Mm-hmm. That has really been... It's gone hand in hand with the promotion of this show, and we usually get our biggest spikes in participation when we mount some sort of... Whether it be a paid campaign or whether it be a listener campaign on Facebook, that's the way we communicate.
When CBS went out of business, they stopped broadcasting. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah. I did hear that.
When they went out of business, we sort of kept in contact with our audience through Facebook, and they were there for us when we started up this podcast.
Without Facebook, we wouldn't have been able to launch this podcast.
I absolutely get that, but that's useful. There's some use there. Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't like about the whole social media
thing. Happy Piper just wrote, don't miss Carrot Top, 2 shows tonight at Wegmans Comedy Club.
that's funny.
Yeah, it's our, that's Cappy's good. A very good friend of the show.
I met Kathy. She's wonderful.
Huge friend of the show.
You sat with Cappy at the State Theater.
I sat with her. She's a lovely young lady.
Thank you, Cappy. Thank you very much.
Stop
I appreciate
it.
That. I'm just being... That's my way of saying thank you.
She knows.
Sorry about that.
What was my point going to be? Social media. Oh, yeah. Here's what social media has done. And the Facebooks, the tweeting, the Instagram.
Here's what I'm doing.
Everyone thinks they're a little celebrity. And then everyone wants to know everything they're doing.
And we don't care.
Here's a picture of me at a party with my girlfriend, Cindy. Oh, look at us.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's what I think about what I just read in the paper or the Kardashians.
By giving everyone an outlet, it allows them to have the platform to foster that thought that they're important, but they're not.
Not nearly enough, but there are a few posts where somebody has an original idea or a clever idea or something interesting, and it's a nice place to exchange those. Unfortunately, you have to wade through a lot of that stuff to get there.
And don't take pictures of food. I don't like that.
Yeah,
no one wants to see why. This is what I'm eating.
Yeah, I don't like
it. You know what? And occasionally there are moments of brilliance.
Yes, there
like,
are.
Like this one. This is
really?
The same. Good. I'm the same.
I hope you don't embarrass me, Mike.
12 minutes ago. Just heard my first North Pond loon yodel of the season, but it was in the newsroom as our crew tested a live shot. It's a TV boy. I thought I'd share that with you.
That's amazing.
I would unfriend him for that.
Yeah,
you would.
Last thing before we go to break, Paul McCartney, the richest musician in the UK. Are you guys aware of that story?
Yeah, and you know what? That happened today when I bought my tickets. That's what put him over.
You're not happy with what's going on?
He's got a lot of money. And what happened is when he toured last, I think he was last year in 2009.
Yes, that's right.
And my son, Robert, wanted to go see him. And I said, Robert, if Paul ever comes back, I'm taking you. And I really didn't think Paul was going to tour again.
How much are the tickets?
I bought the fourth tier down. From the front. Not the best, not the second best, not the third best, the fourth best. $99.50 each.
Wow.
That's why he's wealthy.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Oh, and I forgot, parking, $42 and a $20 convenience charge on every ticket.
You going to the show, Tony? Are you going to go to the show?
Yeah, I got tickets, and it set me back quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, so long, suckers. We'll take a break, come back with the audio vault right after this. Burns my feet as I touch the
ground. $42 for tickets.
$42 for parking.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, Paul McCartney, you know, I'm a legend. And I think people, they don't mind paying it for me. I mean, Ringo, no way, not Ringo, $17.50, but for me, there we are.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Great. This segment of the program is brought to you by RC Kitchens. Your kitchen may be the most important room in your home. Now you can have hand-built, all-wood, top-quality cabinets for about the same price as the mass-produced brands. Contact Rory Callahan at RC Kitchens to get Mercedes quality at Prius prices. RC Kitchens makes it a point to find out exactly what you want, and they take the frustration out of remodeling. Estimates from RC Kitchens are guaranteed accurate, and the timetable is always honest and realistic. RC Kitchens serves the D.C. area all the way to the beaches of Delmarva. If you are outside the D.C. area, RC Kitchens might still be able to help you. He is a great guy. Give Rory Callahan a call. His crew's terrific, and the prices are amazing. So check them out. The number to call is 301-537-3515. That's 301-537-3515 or at rckitchens.com.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready to give us an audio vault, even though you've been all ramped up today and stuff?
I am. I'll try not to unfriend anybody for the next 9 minutes.
Okay, go for it.
I've also, whenever I run into a truly great piece of music, Mike, I like to share it. And what happens when America, when the world really is at crisis, disc jockeys get together and make parody records.
Okay, let me get my dynamite ready.
Are you ready? Sometimes this one is called North Korea. I think you're going to like it. It's very clever.
Oh, I got it. Ooh, just look at Kim Jong-un. We'll never know how great that was.
Kind of worth coming into work today, wasn't it?
Are we going to be able to get those Fat Baby T-shirts out before this thing's over?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we are definitely going to. We need to just go over a couple of pieces of artwork, and then we can have them by next week.
Chop, chop. Let's get today. That done, awesome. Because I think we're going to. We have my wife, in her infinite wisdom, referred to Kim Jong-un as the Fat Baby.
That's good.
And so like we're simply going to have a picture of fat on top, picture of him, baby.
Perfect.
Fat Baby.
Love it.
Thank
love
you.
It.
Thank you
now,
very much.
Because I knew Tony was coming in this week, I've been saving this. BuzzFeed.com put together a list of the worst Beatles covers ever. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to share some of them with you. The first one, Mike, I think you've probably never heard this before. Mm-hmm. Sean Connery doing the song In My Life.
There are places I'll remember all my life. Though some have changed.
That's terrible.
Isn't that horrible?
That is really bad.
Now, some gone.
Sad, really.
What is he doing?
I mean, John Lennon was shot. He's still alive, and somehow that's sadder.
Yeah.
I
like but you know what? It's that's better than In My Life being used for sleepies mattresses.
I agree. I agree. Do you remember?
You Beatles fans.
Do you remember in the old days? I think she did the Griffin show a lot. Mrs. Miller?
Oh,
she
yeah.
was like
she
a
was
novelty act. Yeah.
I remember her.
Yeah. A novelty act, and she did a couple albums. Here's her take on a kid's favorite, Mike. Oh,
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It is good.
The bubbling sound. That's actually her.
That is. Now, Buzz, help me. Who is Xaviera Hollander? That's the happy hooker?
The happy hooker, yes. Yeah, author.
Well, she'll be especially happy after she knows we played her version of Michelle. You know, are you turned on?
There are whores and then there are whores.
Yeah.
But she falls into that category of just...
She's kind of big and gross.
Well, now, yeah.
No, you know what I mean? Yeah, she's just like overdone, over, yeah. and just well, gross.
She was like an ex-madam, I think, when she recorded this. So yeah. She was she, old when she was young.
Performing alone, if you know what I mean, while doing this song?
Yeah. Well, you know her. She was big.
I don't like
I love this one. This is Bill Cosby.
Ah. I don't really want to stop the show, but I thought you might like to know.
You see?
That you're going to play the song.
Bob McCartney has the most money in the UK and Raggots and Rolls and Riesenheiser.
Wow.
See, that as a novelty record, I'm laughing at that because really it's Cosby squeaky, probably when he was hot.
Yes.
And I like that. And now Bill Cosby, I mean, I've been blessed to interview Bill Cosby more than once. And what's great about Cos now is that he will just go off on a tangent.
You never know what he'll say.
And it's still Bill Cosby.
Yeah. He oftentimes forgets to promote why he called.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, but he will go on. And
you know
talk.
What? He shows up in a sweatsuit, you know, when he's talking to you now. Yeah. Right. It's cool. He doesn't care.
And, right. And we're from the same era. So, yeah. I mean, Bill Cosby was the man. And
yeah.
I don't care if he's 150 years old. I mean, the fact that he comes on to my show and talks, I loved it. And I let him ramble. I don't care. He's Bill Cosby. He gets that kind
of
respect.
Course.
You ever heard of a singer called Wing?
No.
She's Asian.
Yeah, she's Scandinavian.
No, that's someone else. This is Wing.
Who's
she's
the other
Asian.
One name person that wears feathers all the time?
Oh, the one who wore
Bjork.
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 Yeah, you won't confuse her with Wing. Here's Wing doing an early Beatles favorite, Mike.
Wing.
She's Asian.
Robot?
Yeah. Right. Okay, and I close. Oh, well, just a taste of this because everyone loves this one. Shatner.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you. You answer quite slowly.
Really?
That's become kind of a classic.
It has.
I love this guy.
And it was the very beginning of Shatner poking fun at himself. Shatner getting the joke about
resurgence
Shatner,
of his career, yeah.
And really, he became legendary. Mm-hmm. He's iconic because he's an example. You know how many guys we used to have TV people come into the studio that hated the fact that they were associated with the series that they
old
had been
series,
on?
Gilligan Syndrome.
You know, Werner Klemperer was on Colonel Klink. He could never, ever accept the fact that he was known as Colonel Klink. Shatner embraced being Captain
Loved
Kirk.
It.
And he went on to bigger and better things. And I think he's just a model for how to handle TV celebrity.
He's great.
Two more real quick.
Tony could learn a few things from
that. Tony. Hey. Yes. We'll talk about it over lunch at Wegmans. Tiny Tim. Mike.
That's even high for Tiny Tim.
Can I ask you a favor?
Yeah.
Is there a way to start that again?
Sure, you bet. His mess up at the beginning.
I love that they chose to keep that in.
Yeah, it's charming.
Where
really.
He reacts to his own mistake.
Yeah, once again, Tiny Tim.
Listen.
Good call.
That's a good call.
I love that.
Now the last one.
Do you remember who I met Tiny Tim with at the same performing on the same venue?
I don't.
I met them at the Desert Lounge in Pasadena, Maryland.
Oh yeah.
And Tiny Tim was performing on the same bill with Tubby Boots.
Oh, Tubby Boots!
Oh yes,
Tiny and Tubby.
Oh, yes,
Tubby Boots.
Tiny and Tubby
Boots.
Tour.
Fantastic.
So
that
disgusting.
Is quite a bill.
Right? I would say if there was any weakness to that performance is that it was under orchestrated. Just him and the ukulele. Our final clip does not have that problem.
Okay.
One of the greatest entertainers of the 20th century, really, if you consider all 100 years, Mike. This is Bing Crosby.
Hey Jude.
Oh God, that's terrible.
Don't make it bad.
Thank you, everybody.
That's terrible.
Those are the worst Beatles covers ever.
Sure are, Rob.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Gary Rydstrom?
Nope.
No, he has 7 Academy Awards. He won 2 of them for working on Jurassic Park.
Okay.
And he did an interview revealing what he did to create the noises of dinosaurs. Uh-huh. You can't just go out and record dinosaurs.
What comes to mind, what jumps into my mind, is being in the theater and that incredible shot of the glass of water.
Oh, I love that.
Vibrating with the T-Rex. It was incredible.
And Spielberg later explained that he got that idea because he had his car stereo turned up, and whenever the bass notes would hit on the subwoofer, he would see that vibration in the water. He said, I got to use that for the dinosaurs.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
except
brilliant.
He said subwoofer. The Brachiosaurus bellowing, Mike, is a donkey braying slowed down. That's a slowed down donkey for the Brachiosaurus.
I love this stuff. I could listen to this all day.
I love this stuff too.
Now, when the T-Rex growls, it's a Jack Russell Terrier playing with a toy, slowed down. Isn't that great?
Wow. I love this.
Brilliant.
Little dog.
Yeah.
I love that it's that simple.
You know what's brilliant about it, though, really? It's organic. He's using other animals.
Right. So it doesn't sound like something otherworldly.
And I think, as opposed to something that's computer generated, that legitimately has the fear fact, because it is an animal creating a scary sound.
When the T-Rex roared, it was a baby elephant trumpeting, slowed down. Here's the T-Rex roaring. And I love that he went with a baby elephant, because I think it would be too low if it was a grown-up elephant.
Right. The this last is great. One, I love this, Rob.
The last one, the Velociraptors, forgive me. When they talk to each other, remember when they had them in the kitchen and the kids were hiding and the Velociraptors were...
Just remember Sam Neill, and that means you're still alive when they eat you. All right, go ahead. All right.
So when they're communicating, he recorded at SeaWorld two turtles having sex and incorporated a male dolphin in heat. So this is the sound of the Velociraptors talking.
That's the turtle breaking through the shell.
That's right.
That is so phenomenally wonderful.
Worst porn ever.
Reverb and you're good to go.
Yeah, and we close. I don't know if you know this. Do you know that Rihanna and Chris Brown have broken up?
What?
Yeah,
what?
It's true. Yeah.
Good.
Conan covered it last night.
Rihanna broke up with Chris Brown after she caught him cheating with a waitress. Rihanna said she knew something was up when Brown came home with another woman's lipstick on his knuckles.
That, Mike, that is your magic audio vault.
We'll take a break, come back with Buzz and News. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's not waste any time. Get him right in here, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, healthy man, Buzz Burbank.
Healthy man.
Healthy man.
Thank you, Mike. The news brought to you today by Encore Insurance Services, LLC, the people who bring you this show every weeknight on 102.9 WTNT. Oscar Santana had a great experience with Encore, as you know. For a free life insurance quote, visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. They do all the work. They'll compare the rates to help you save. License and disclaimer info at smartterm.com. Let them know you appreciate them as much as we do. That's Encore Insurance Services. Women's breasts...
What?
Do not need artificial support. Bras are expensive, overpriced, really, and a new university study from France proves the garment is not only unnecessary, but that it may do more harm than good.
This is unnecessary.
Yeah. I am waiting for you to come up to the O'Mara bedroom sometime this week. I'm sorry. The fairy has arrived at the O'Mara house.
Are you speaking of you or her?
Well, both of us. That's right. I have a wonderful new bra that I just... It's called the Louis Anderson.
The Louis.
Yeah. The industry that makes and sells bras has claimed the opposite for many years, convincing women that without a bra, breasts will begin to sag sooner in life than without one. Industry folklore also argued that wearing a bra could reduce back pain. Neither claim is true, according to this 15-year study.
This is nonsense.
In fact, this study, conducted by a sports science professor, shows that bras can actually make a woman's breast sag sooner in life than they would without one. Quoting him, medically, physiologically, and anatomically, breasts gain no benefit from being denied gravity. One of 130 women in the study reports that in her 2 years going braless, she breathes more easily, has better posture, and less back pain.
But if you eliminate the bra, how are the teenage boys going to improve their manual dexterity?
It is a snap and twist.
Yeah, I was always very bad at it.
I tore fabric on that.
In my zeal to reach the Titanic orbs.
Bras, of course, can enhance a woman's figure, but the science of it is they're not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Facebook, as we mentioned, is getting ugly. We had the numbers on that for you earlier. But another sad fact about social media today, a new media study shows that 44% of us now get our morning news from Facebook.
Boo.
Oh, that good story Boo. To bring with him.
I'm so sorry.
That, you're not but sorry they, a bit. You know, you edit your news every
in
morning.
In fact, and the study is not saying they exclusively get their morning news from Facebook, but people are saying, yeah, that's one of my sources in the morning is Facebook. That's how I find out what's going on.
Well,
in the
I
world.
Know that all 5,000 of my Facebook friends are all credible journalists. So I rely on everything
and
I see.
And that's
there.
Why it's so scary. Right. Nearly a third of us are getting our morning news from Twitter. A little over half say we get it through email notifications from news sources.
What do you think of that, TV boy?
I think that's not a good thing for me. Because more and more people should be getting their news from Fox 5 Morning News.
That's right. But you're rethinking that Facebook thing now, aren't you?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. It's hard to give up some things even when they're not in the budget, and so it goes for Saturday mail delivery. The U.S. Postal Service has a recent vote by Congress makes it impossible to drop the $2 billion a year habit. Mm-hmm. The North Korean government seems to have toned down its rhetoric a bit, but it's still expected to test a missile or several to prove that it has the medium-range capability to hit South Korea, Japan, and U.S. bases in the region. North Korea seems to be saying it won't be ignored by a world that has otherwise cut it out of the economic loop. But all that tough talk from North Korea has brought us to a dangerous point, according to our Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. Former Vice President Dick Cheney puts it a different way. You've probably been thinking to yourself over these last few days.
Vice President who?
Dick Cheney. And I know you've been wondering, I wonder what he thinks of all this. Well, here's your answer. Speaking to a group of Republicans yesterday, Cheney said that Kim Jong-un reminds him of Saddam Hussein. Mm. And because of that, quoting Cheney, this is a quote from the former vice president, "We're in deep doo-doo," end quote.
And then he got up and went to his car.
No.
In his cowboy hat.
Cheney.
Yeah, I hear he was wearing a cowboy
he
hat.
He wore a cowboy hat into and out of that meeting.
I urge
you're
not
kidding.
It covers the electrodes.
He's a profane man. I'm surprised he said doo-doo.
Well, he was, I guess.
The World According to Dick Cheney is a great documentary that's all over. I think it's HBO now.
Yes,
it's fun
to
watch. Yep.
Yeah, it is. The Senate is expected to vote today on those broader background checks for gun buyers. And although the measure has a fair chance of passing, don't expect it for another month, as the debate and delays from NRA-backed Republicans continue. And after all of that, the bill faces an even tougher chance in the Republican-controlled House. But one Republican senator with an A rating from the NRA has broken ranks to tell his colleagues there's nothing unconstitutional about background checks. Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania says, and I quote, "I don't consider background checks to be gun control." The NRA, meanwhile, is taking Maryland's new gun law to court, challenging its constitutionality. Among other things, the Maryland law bans the sale of 45 types of military-style semi-assault rifles, semi-automatic rifles, that is, including the best-selling AR-15.
Can the NRA change his grade now that he's changed his outlook?
Oh, they can and they will.
Okay.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Do they grade on a curve?
Yeah.
No. It's very strict.
It's just they're doing that. They're making they're flexing their muscle. They're at that stage of the argument now where they pull that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we trust to fix the economy? A new Gallup poll says 57% think President Obama has the best approach. Only 39% support the Republican view. This as the president presents his budget proposal to Congress. His plan includes higher taxes on the rich, universal preschool, more money for education, more money for veterans, parks, energy, embassy security, gun violence, and homeland security and housing. The president's plan cuts funding for NASA, the EPA, and the military.
I trust Donald Trump because he's building the world's best hotel right here in D.C.
Oh, is he really?
And he said, D.C.'s hot.
Yeah, is it good?
D.C.'s hot and good and hot.
Where are you putting the hotel, Donald?
D.C.
Is it going to be great?
It's going to be hot.
Why?
Because it's good.
Okay.
A couple of University of Colorado students are now facing felony charges for allegedly selling Adderall pills at $5 a piece.
Mark Ronick.
Adderall is used to... No, here's a 10.
Tell me about it.
Adderall is used to treat attention deficits in children, but students have been finding it to be an excellent booster for their concentration as they study for tests. Quoting a campus security official, "It's important for students to know these are felonies." And finally, it's not even the 1st of May, but the outdoor humping has already begun.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
On Easter Sunday, in an Atlanta suburb, a couple in their 20s, on their way home from church, pulled into a Kroger parking lot, smoked some weed, and started getting it on. Must have been some sermon. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Hey, Tony Perkins, yes. A pleasure to have you with us.
Tony. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Tomorrow on the bonus hour, Tony's going to hang out and play. What game are we playing today?
Pyramid.
We're going to play Pyramid with Tony. It's uncensored. We're not going to really like hit him over the head and try to get him to cuss. We're going to try awful hard.
Do you think we can get him to say a word that starts with S?
I think we're going to have big fun, everybody. We will see you next time. I also want to remind everybody to watch Tony. He is on every single morning from 7 a.m. That's very early to 10 a.m. weekdays on Fox 5, and he's still getting it done after all these years. He's been in the business for 73 years, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
73
it's
years. So great bonus hour tomorrow. Our show today was brought to you by ScoreBig.com. Get your great deals on tickets at ScoreBig. Check them out. We appreciate ScoreBig. No extra fees ever. No need to go anywhere but ScoreBig.com. And don't forget to enter our code TMOS, okay?
Okay.
So we all ready to tape Pyramid?
I'm ready to go.
Uncensored.
Who will the partners be?
Oh, I have no idea. You and I have to go to our separate corners.
I know, because you know the thing about us, Mike, we're not competitive.
Should be big fun. That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Go to the